NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It is summer. Time to go outside. Get yourself to the beach with towel and your SPF and your beach read. Here at The Indicator, we, of course, love books about economics. Traditionally, though, those have not been thought of as ideal beach reads. So we have decided to try to change that. We reached out to one of our very favorite economists, voracious reader, professor at George Mason University, and host of the excellent podcast Conversations with Tyler, Tyler Cowen. We figured if anybody could pick out some great economic reads for the beach, it would be Tyler. Who does not want to bring economics to the beach?
No one that I know.
I believe that, yes. After the break, Tyler makes a case for bringing economics to the beach and gives us his top picks.
Hey, Greg, newsletter feedback. Have been loving your newsletter as of late.
Oh, yay.
Oh, they want you to switch to a serif font.
Oh, they want to switch to serif font?
Yeah. Where can people subscribe?
People can subscribe at npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter. npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter.
Hey, my name is Michael. I'm the current intern at The Indicator. We're looking for an intern this fall and winter. It will be a joint internship with Planet Money. If you're interested in work like fact-checking, pitching, technical production, please reach out to us. Visit npr.org/internships. npr.org/internships.
Tyler Cowen, economist at George Mason University and reader extraordinaire. First question, are you a beach person? Do you go to the beach?
I don't go to the beach willingly. Occasionally, I'm dragged to the beach. But when I go to the beach, I do read. I can assure you of that.
Okay. So do you bring economic texts to the beach?
Well, I would say all texts are economic texts, but absolutely.
Wait, all texts are economic texts? Really?
Well, virtually all. They're about human beings making choices, right? That's what economics is. Scarcity, trade-offs, incentives. What book doesn't have that in it? It's in Jane Austen, right? It's in the Bible. It's everywhere.
So we asked you to pick just a few kind of economic beach reads that you'd recommend for people this summer. And what did you pick?
Well, I have three picks, and they all have to do with the world right now. I think the world right now, the good things are really getting a lot better, and the bad things have been getting worse. So it's a very confusing world. It means actually you have a greater need to read books. But my first pick is by the wonderful author, Walter Isaacson, and the book is called The Codebreaker, Jennifer Doudna, Gene Editing, and the Future of the Human Race.
This is CRISPR, where you can kind of go in and edit genes, like potentially take out things you don't want, maybe put in things you do.
That's correct. So if you've been vaccinated with an mRNA vaccine, well, how did that come about? I would say it's about how is the world of biomedicine changing that we're seeing so many major advances at once. A vaccine against malaria, probably on the way. A way to engineer mosquitoes so they don't pass along dengue, probably on the way. Why is all this happening now? That, to me, is what this book is about. It's about the very best side of our current world.
Oh, what do you mean the very best side? Like the innovation?
Innovation, and in particular right now, biomedicine, which literally is saving our lives. And advances in the sciences tend to be clustered, as we know from history, right? Whether it's mathematics, economics, things come in groups. So why is that? Why is biomedicine now doing so well? I think it has a lot to do with computation and information technology. And also, in this case, mobilizing the talents of women, right? Not just male scientists. Nothing against the male scientists. But if you look at the vaccines, it's striking how significant a role women have played in that history or in CRISPR.
I don't know. Is it like a good read? Is it like, as far as beach reads go, can you, I don't know, have like a pina colada while you're reading it?
Walter Isaacson is one of the most consistent authors. He has a book on Steve Jobs, which I loved. Great book on Leonardo da Vinci. You can just pick it up and read it no matter what your background. So it is definitely a beach read, a pool read, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, that sounds like a great recommendation. What's up next?
Some more good news. And this is a book by Eric Berger, who is both a journalist and a meteorologist. And it's about Elon Musk and SpaceX. And it is called Liftoff, Elon Musk and the Desperate Early Days That Launched SpaceX.
I remember the early days of SpaceX. They were not smooth.
Not smooth at all. But here's the framework in which I view this book. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I was 7 years old when we put a man on the moon. I stayed up late to watch it. I had such high hopes. And then it all went away. And now it's come back. And who brought it back? Elon Musk. This is the story of how it came back.
It's interesting to me that it focuses on the early days of SpaceX because they are so rocky. So, like, what lessons did the early days have?
Well, Elon Musk himself knew how important the early days were. Here's to me the most striking anecdote in the book. Elon Musk personally was a part of hiring the first 3,000 employees at SpaceX because he knew you needed the right kind of people if they were going to pull this off.
What was he looking for?
People willing to take risk, think outside the box, people who believed in this as a mission that it actually could be done and could succeed.
So any other recommendations for the Beecher Pool?
Well, there's a third book, and it's, I wouldn't quite say it's pessimistic, but it's more about chaos. And it is by Neil Ferguson. It is called Doom, The Politics of Catastrophe. It's about how chaos has come to our world, how we cannot help thinking about chaos. We are prepossessed with doom. Ultimately, I actually think it's an optimistic book about how we manage to get through it. But I think we have seen with the pandemic, with some things that have happened in our politics, just much more volatility than what we had been used to. And we need to cope with this. And this is a very good book to read to get you in the mindset of how to cope with this extreme mix of like very good and very bad news.
So what is the best way to deal with doom? I mean, doom happens, I guess, whether or not you're expecting it. It does come around as it has this last year.
You know, Ferguson is a historian, and as you might expect, he says the way to deal with doom is to read and understand history. So this book is in part that history, but its general lessons are methodological, and how we think about these crises is shaped by how we understand our past. So it's looking at those narratives. And of course, plagues are not new in world history. We somehow forgot they existed.
Is there an anecdote that stuck out to you in Doom that made you see something happening in our modern world a little differently?
Well, what I find so memorable in Doom is how much in the early stages of the pandemic, and actually still now, we were frozen like deer in the headlights. So the anecdote is an anecdote of doing nothing. And now, as you know, in this country, still many, many people are not vaccinated. And yet these new variants are coming and we're freezing like deer in the headlights again. And you'd think, well, we would have learned the lesson by now, but we haven't. And to figure out why we haven't, that's what the Ferguson book is good at.
So there is a silver lining, is that maybe we can get better at it.
Maybe we can get better at it. Maybe we can muddle through with what we've got. We always have in the past. But expect a rocky road.
Well, I feel like very, very prepared for my economic beach trip. But I did want to ask, because you are so good about seeing movies and exhibits and everything, if there was like anything outside of the medium of books that, I don't know, you've especially enjoyed or would recommend for people this summer?
Well, I went to the National Gallery of Art in Washington. It was so packed. You know the rooms every museum has where no one goes into those rooms? Those rooms were full. So just the collective excitement at being in a museum again, I would just recommend you all go out and enjoy this with your fellow citizens and soak it in. There will never be a time for museum going like there is right now where everyone is into it. It's wonderful. Whether it's the National Gallery or wherever you happen to live, that's what I'm recommending you all do.
Well, Tyler Cowen, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Stacey.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Dave Blanchard and Darian Woods. It was fact-checked by Michael Huh. The Indicator is edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR. Happy reading.
This week on NPR's Life Kit, financial independence. We want to help you work towards financial freedom, wherever you're at.
Concentrate right now on what you can do to better your finances, to prepare for that next crisis, not out of fear, but out of preparation.
Listen now to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.